Patrick Ricey here with the Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than an agent who represents one company writes in 3 years. How is this possible? We'll give you the other facts to understand why. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies that leave you at risk for two premium increases annually. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, or even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies can't shop for you because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get your options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Happy draft day, everyone. It's Royce's favorite day of the year, the NFL draft. Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. You told us before we cracked the microphones here, Pat, you have a new theory.
Yes, they use their 11th pick to draft a quarterback because they don't get to move up. And then they trade the one that they got in the first round later for a second rounder and a third rounder and maybe something else. So that's my theory. They go all Spielman on us just when we get excited about these new geniuses. They go Spielman on us and trade down.
So you're saying they only make the one first round pick and it's sticking at 11. Yeah, but then we get a couple of day two picks. We get to have fun tomorrow.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Then they don't want to sit out day two. They don't want to sit out day two. So they can't get the guy they want. They can't move up to four. So then they trade the second first rounder. That's my theory.
Okay. So, you just couldn't take being nice. That column on Sunday just took your soul right out of you. So you've got to lash back.
No, but of course the good news is if it was Spielman, he'd trade that second first rounder for 2 5s, 3 6s, and 4 7s, you know, so he wouldn't have to sign any unsigned free agents for more money. He likes those cheap late draft choices. You know what's interesting though? Farrell Payne got $500,000, I'm told, to go to Texas A&M. For I don't know if that's a 3-year contract or just a 1 year or what it is. But yeah. We now have these guys, these marginally good college basketball players, making more than NHL rookies. Don't we, Judd? What's the NHL rookie contract? Like $450 or something like that?
I don't even know. Yeah, probably.
They're making more than, if you make the NHL as a rookie, you're making more to play basketball as a, you know, to get a bunch of rebounds and maybe do something. It's I saw that and I thought, holy cow, it's I'll tell you one thing, no baseball team's ever going to be able to sign a two sport athlete who's also a basketball player. He's going to make way more than they make in a minor league. So it's really weird, isn't it? But anyway, hey, draft night, exciting. I'm glad everybody's all fired up and
I think we're to the point where for 3 months people have just been salivating over the idea of trading up, and then that trade they made to get the 23rd pick just felt like, okay, this is step one. Yeah, and step two is going to be, and I think you're right, by the way. I think there's, I don't know that it's for sure going to happen that way, but there's a really good chance that they don't trade up. They stick at 11, maybe they stick at 23. But I think we've gotten the fans so riled up here with, not necessarily us, but like fans are so riled up that if that happens, they're going to be pissed. Well, and they might still get a great quarterback at 11, by the way.
I also love the fact that the fans are mad that the Falcons' punishment is not going to directly assist the Vikings, as if the Vikings were on the cusp of signing Cousins and he got stolen away from us. We don't want Cousins, but we want compensation for losing him, even though we don't want him.
We want our pound of flesh, damn it, from Atlanta. Yes. Give us our pound of flesh.
How would you like to be Atlanta? You just paid that moron $45 million, and then he shoots off his mouth about doing everything that every other team does with a free agent, but you can't talk about it, you idiot. But he's since he was on Netflix, he thinks he's this big sharing celebrity, and he you know, this is all him. This isn't like Falcons did something disreputable. Everybody does it, for God's sakes.
It's it's great. He just gets big smile. He's like, oh, the trainer and I, we're best friends now. It's been, we've been talking for months.
You don't admit it, you stooped. I bet they are. I bet they're so upset, you know, that that he's gonna, they're gonna end up getting fined like $5 billion and lose a draft choice or two for just because the NFL. What is wrong with the NFL? What do they care? Why do they care?
Well, there's got to be some order, doesn't there? Or should we just say, hey, the season's over, you can do whatever you want?
Do you know who gets in trouble now? The Falcons PR guy. This happened with the Vikings. Cousins gets up to a microphone and shoots off his mouth, and Cousins' agent inevitably then blames the PR guy who's supposed to tell him, hey, don't talk about all the tampering.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, yeah, it's but the NFL acting like, oh, this is some egregious thing. Don't have the 48 hours of legal tampering then, right? What do we have beforehand? We have legal tampering, don't we?
Yeah, it's the negotiation window, technically. The NFL doesn't like the use of the word tampering, Pat, because that implies that you're still doing something wrong.
But during the negotiation window, while I'm making my decision, I'm not permitted to go meet the trainer or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, why? It makes no sense.
Well, I think the spirit of the window is, let's talk some general finances here, okay? You know, my guy's looking for 40, and then we can meet the trainer at when the league year starts at noon or whatever.
Yeah, but maybe I get down there and they got a guy that looks like Stan Whalen, who used to be the North Stars trainer, and he weighed 350 pounds. And, you know,
let me get my hands on that Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you got some guy wandering around who's a complete idiot.
What you got to do now, if you are the Falcons, from now on, Royce, what you got to do is set up a clandestine meeting between the player and the trainer behind a Cracker Barrel restaurant by the dumpster, and then no one talks about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's like the NBA has got the, you know, the Timberwolves, everybody reported the Jimmy Butler trade back then on June 22nd, but we all had to wait to July 1st or something. What do they do that? What's that for? You know, I mean, I don't understand it. They think, you know, and this is, the Falcons tampered, and they stole him from the Vikings, and we should get compensation. No, we are so damn happy they took Kirk off our hands, we can't stand it. You think they wanted to pay this stiff $45 million? Hell no. Anyway, who are they going to get?
Oh, man. Well, I think right now, if you look at like the markets and the sports books, I think as of this morning, J.J. McCarthy is still the most likely.
But
it sounds like, if you believe the last minute reporting here in the days leading up to Thursday here, they love Drake May, and Kevin O'Connell went on. I don't know if you saw the Q&A he did at that church in Plymouth, and a guy asked him about, you know, in theory, if you had a quarterback that had some sloppy footwork like a Drake May, and Kevin O'Connell kind of raved about him. So it sounds like Drake May or J.J. McCarthy are the likely ones, but we'll see.
Drake May, to get to three, though, what's that going to cost you? You're gonna have to get another next year's number one too, probably. Maybe you can. Who's three? Who's picking three?
Patriots.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You probably have to give up two ones and a three.
I think Mike Reese, who's been covering them for 50 years, and knows his stuff, said that it's gonna have to be a historic package to get to get the threes.
I think the Patriots are interested. If Washington doesn't take Jaden Daniels, I think the Patriots are gonna take Daniels. I think if Washington takes Daniels, I think they might move that pick. But it'll cost you both your ones.
Who else would Washington take? if they don't take a quarterback.
Drake May.
Or J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy's team at number two has been building.
You take J.J. McCarthy number two, you're morons. So,
well, they are the Commanders.
It's the NFL, man. A lot of morons.
I hold the Michigan Wolverines responsible for J.J. McCarthy winning all those games. He had to make about four plays a game. So,
but he did very well with those four plays. That's what we're banking.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, he outplayed Penix something fierce in the national championship game because Penix's life was in danger. Okay, that had something to do with the difference between those two guys that night. If you flip-flopped them, they would have looked just the opposite that they did in that game. If they would have put Penix in the Wolverines uniform and McCarthy in the Washington uniform, it would have been just the opposite. And yeah. Penix is actually... at the combine, now me being the big combine freak I am, I just happened to notice this. His numbers were, his athletic stuff was really good at the combine, even with those bad knees, right?
Yeah, his pro day, he ran like a 4.46 40 or something,
that
right?
That wasn't the combine, it was a pro day.
Yeah.
I get confused between all these tryouts.
Well, when you're watching all these pro days and combines, right. It's tough for you to separate them.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. So who's your audience? Who's going to be there tonight? Are these mouth-foaming Viking?
No, it's a very nice community of people that want unbiased coverage and love the Vikings.
Okay, they do want unbiased coverage, you think?
Well, they don't want the coverage of some people.
They're there because they appreciate Purple Daily, and Purple Daily doesn't necessarily put a rose-colored tint on things.
That's what I'm saying. In other words, a little more cynical outfit than is going to show up for the other places. Big deal, right?
I think that's fair to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if they do, here's the thing. If they do what you said, let's say they stick at 11, maybe they still get McCarthy at 11. There's a chance that he could fall. Drake May could fall.
It's not that far.
But people, quarterbacks fall. But if they were to draft like Michael Penix at 11 and then a great defensive player or something, I will stand up and say, this is fine. This is fine. People are going to throw tomatoes and boo. Oh, people are going to be mad.
I will
be the voice of reason if that happens.
Okay. Here's something else I got to ask you. Why do we have this narrative with the Viking fan base, not only the Kirk lovers, everybody else, but the biggest problem with this team is the offensive line. Why do we have this narrative? They've invested an incredible number of draft choices in it. It wasn't that bad statistically last year. You got two great tackles if they're healthy. Bradbury actually, according to Focus, he was good last year, right? He was
better.
He's like an average.
So why do we always say, they've never fixed the offensive line?
Because it was
go ahead.
It was bad for a long time, and the Kirk fans always had to have a crutch, and that's the easiest crutch in the world. Because you can't say, well, Jefferson and Addison suck. There's nothing else that you can say beyond the offensive line being a great crutch for if things didn't go right for Kirk.
Listen, with everything they do now to protect wide receivers and receive any receivers, I've been saying this for years now. The only way you can play defense is to go after the quarterback in exotic ways that have never been done before. They are asking offense. They are asking 320-pound men to do things that 260-pound athletes do. That's why they get hurt during the year. They got them doing all kinds of stuff that big muscular mooses shouldn't have to do. And it's you're going to get hurt. You're going to get a couple injuries every year on the offensive line. And the Vikings had, even Spielman in the last few years, they did everything they could to fix the offensive line. And this idea, they've ignored the offensive line, they got to go get an offensive lineman, it drives me crazy. If there's a good one out there, go get him. But
I think what's fair to say is they're not the best offensive line in the NFL. But what happens is we like you watch your team every week and maybe you don't compare contextually to all the other 31 teams. Even the best offensive lines in the NFL are allowing pressure on like one in every four dropbacks.
Yes.
Because it's because guess what? The guys on the other side are also being paid a ton of money to break through and try and chase your quarterback.
And they're also better athletes. You now have 225, 30, 35 pound linebackers instead of 270, you know, and they got guys that are great athletes and they're wanting you as offensive linemen to reach these guys when they're 8 feet away from you. They put responsibility on the offensive linemen that are, you know, if you keep an offensive line, you know, Detroit, except for Ragnow getting hurt for a while, managed to keep a good offensive line together last year. That's why they were pretty good.
Yeah.
But you always get injuries. So look at Green Bay. Look how many seasons Green Bay's had good seasons, but they pretty much got ruined by their offensive line getting, you know, Bakhtiari, they finally got rid of him. My God, nobody played fewer games for more money than that guy. Didn't they release him? Didn't they let him go?
Where did he go?
Retire or something?
Is he still a free agent?
I don't know. He signed. Yeah, I mean,
he's definitely not with the Packers anymore.
Yeah, they finally said, "Well, let's see. You know, we can't use that as our excuse for failing again for the fifth straight year that we didn't have."
Although, here's a conspiracy theory for you guys. So, you know, Christian Darrisaw is up for a big contract probably next offseason. And I haven't seen the social media post in question, but an emailer sent a note that said, "Hey, the Vikings put out like a slideshow of some of the top draft picks in recent years by the Vikings and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and suspiciously missing was Christian Darrisaw." Is there a thought that they could include him in a trade tonight?
Yeah. Wasn't that the rumor that they would want like two number ones maybe three number ones next year and Darrisaw? Then you are starting all over again, right?
Unless you take Michael Penix.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying with the offensive line, though, if you let him go,
he's great.
He's great, yeah. I suppose some teams are probably getting afraid of what you have to pay the top flight offensive lineman, though. It's, you know, they're getting some money. Of course, don't worry. You can just steal it at the other end if you don't think he's earning it. You can just say, "We're going to pay you half, or you got to take a hike." Worst union in the history of unions. So,
yeah.
But so, hey, it's exciting it's amazing that the people what they've turned this into is just phenomenal. And I would recommend again. Anybody who wants to know what it used to be like, find Mark Craig's story from Sunday in the Star Tribune. It was great because it tells you that, you know, draft forecasting used to be a little weenie sitting in his room in Brooklyn in a little half a studio apartment and coming up with a pamphlet that they sent to everybody. Hey, Judley, I didn't know that you ever got to go out and monitor a broadcast of Al Shaver at Met Center. Your mom lined you up to
listen. Yeah, my mom was the greatest. She sent him a note that said, "My son's a hockey crazed obsessed and like listens to your games constantly." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's great. He can come out and sit by me in the booth." Took me down to the old old press dining room before the game.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Wow.
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic.
How old were you then?
Yeah.
Probably 13.
Okay. And was he in the press box then? Or was he in the booth? Because
he was in the press box, but the little booth that they created in the press box.
Yeah, created in there. Okay.
But what a guy. God, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. I love the story about I asked Tom Reed if he ever knew Al have an enemy, you know, and he was saying... He said, "I don't think so." He says, "Wait a minute. We were standing out in front of the hotel in L.A. waiting for the team bus, and this guy was walking down the street with a big box." And Al says, Al said, "Hey, sir, hey, what's in the box?" Al says, the guy says, "None of your bleeping business." And he said, "That guy did like Al Shaffer. That's the only guy he could think of." So, what would it be like to go through life as a media guy and have everybody love you? It would be fantastic.
He had no ego. That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And there was no social media. So even if there was 10% of people that didn't like him, they couldn't really tell him that, you know?
Now, although if you were a hockey fan and you listened to him, it would be impossible to not like him. But I want to tell you something. The amount, the Star Tribune, I'd read the Star Tribune comments, and in addition to attracting the worst human beings in the world, you get incredible misinformation from these people as they're giving you their memories. They had a guy last night that... We had a guy that I saw that he remembered when WCCO had Cannon doing North Star games and KSDP had Shaver. This never occurred, you moron. Cannon sat with him, and then later Cannon did Gopher games and would say, number 17 is down here below the CCO microphones. Steve could never keep up with who was who,
Who was Steve Cannon's color commentator? Was it Morgan Mundane or Backlash LaRue?
I don't know who it was, but he had Robbie Morgan. Meads. Robbie Meads? He'd hang around. He'd have Al. He'd sit next to Cannon and have the lineups, and he'd point to the guy that had the puck on the piece of paper for Stevie. I mean, Steve loved hockey, but it's a real art to actually know who's got the puck, and because it's a big, you're sitting way up high and it's a big damn scramble down there. I don't know how many guys you think just do it off the TV screen now. Because that's another thing you got to remember. The 2/3 of the time, Al was doing it without a TV screen.
Right? Yeah. Oh, no, it's crazy.
Yeah. The games were not. How many North Star games are out of here? 20, maybe?
Yeah, about 20, 25.
When did they start doing the whole season on TV?
Well,
for North Star's games. They had to, like early 90s, they had to have been, right?
The 80s Spectrum Sports, which you could subscribe to, started to do home games a lot. And then Channel 9 did road games. Mm. But I mean, Al worked alone on the road forever, which would have, hockey.
I'm not sure what the number was for the North Stars, but the Twins were doing under 50 when they first came here, and I think they went to 50 later on, but only four home games would be on.
Yeah.
They'd have four Friday nights in the summer that they'd have a home game on, and they didn't want to do that because they thought the cheap Scandinavians wouldn't show up at the ballpark if you gave it to them for free on television, and they were probably right. But the problem was they didn't show up either when it wasn't on television. So anyway, I think those Whiteys are in trouble. I think those Whiteys are in trouble, though.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
3-21 now, right?
The perfect medicine at the perfect time for the Twins. I mean, legitimately, they needed three or four straight wins to even keep the season on life support. And here come the White Sox. So, and you get them again next week. It'll be great.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I was remembering, and it was in, I said this on Twitter. I remembered it was in Comiskey Park in 82 that Gaetti said, "They got to change our name to Hapless Twins," he said, "because every time we go into a town, the newspaper said the Red Sox start tonight. The Hapless Twins are in town to start. He says every place we've been for 6 weeks, we've been the Hapless Twins." And they were, that team was 16-54. And then they surged to 44-60 and 48 the rest. So there's hope for the Whiteys. Maybe they'll be last half of the season. Maybe they'll be within 10 games of 500 or something. Yeah. But this is what equals the third team to only have three wins through their first 24 or something like that.
I mean, there was an Orioles team that started like 0-21 once, a Cubs team that was really bad. Yeah.
This is a perfect example, Pat, of put the ball in play, too, because this White Sox defense, I don't know what happened to Andrew Benintendi, but that guy can't move anymore. At one point, he was one of the better outfielders in the game. He is terrible
And, you know, even before this disaster and last, there's been about 3 years where they haven't been able to catch the ball at all. And Tim Anderson was terrible, but he, he had some offense to him. But, it seemed a little lonely over there last night, though, Declan.
Yes. Crowd-wise. It was very light. Very light crowd, yes. Very light crowd.
So it wasn't the distraction of the Wolves that were causing them to have problems. Well, I don't know. I'm sitting here wrestling with the idea. Am I going to go see the Whiteys again? I might have to go just so I can hear the quips of the White Sox beat writers.
There you go.
It's been great. They're
carving them up pretty good. So,
All right, Pat. Well, enjoy draft day. Enjoy Twins White Sox day, and we'll recap with you tomorrow.
What are the beverages being served at the Fillmore? Do you have?
Across the street beforehand, our friends at Fulton are putting on a little happy hour. Yep. Wow. Otherwise, it's come on in and drink whatever you please. Be
all
responsible,
right,
kids.
See you guys.
All right, Pat.
All right, see you, Pat.
Right, have
there
a good night.
Goodbye. Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold. Happy draft day.